Well, last week, Cain focused on the promise of John's birth, right? And this week, I'll be focusing on the promise of Jesus's birth. Now, I kind of quickly want to define what promise means in the context of this message. A promise is something that God says ahead of time that it will happen, but hasn't happened yet. It's a promise. Some might call it a word, a prophecy, even a message from God. So I might be interchanging some of those with promise. And with that in mind, we're going to be exploring God's unfailing promises today. And to do that, we'll be trying to answer two questions, right? One, is God faithful to his promises? And two, if so, what are the promises? Got a question. Have you ever gotten a promise or a word from God, either through reading your Bible or prayer or through someone else's prayer? It's kind of rhetorical. Because for me, right, it's kind of normal growing up because, and I want to tell you a little bit about me, my story. Came from Burma, grew up there until I was 16, came here as an international student, right? So back in Burma, we have a very different kind of like environment, and not just countries, not just cultural background, but different faith environment that I was growing up in. And praying and hearing God for people, and you know, that's a normal occurrence in my household. So we'll have like uncles and aunties, and I say this in an Asian way. These are people that are older than you that I don't really know how we're related to, but we call them aunties and uncles. They will come and they'll pray for us. Sometimes they would anoint us with oil, all of the good stuff. And that was like very normal to me. And you might think, right, yeah, we pray at home, right? We hear God reading scriptures. But I'll give you an example, one of the more tamer ones. When I say prayer, that could look like sometimes us just lining up. Imagine a conga line at a wedding, right? And basically everyone just dancing and singing their own song, praising God. And that can go for an hour. And that's kind of like quite normal as I was growing up. And that was faith to me. So when I was about 10, right, I remember that an uncle came from somewhere and then he prayed for me and my sister. I've got a younger sister. And then he pointed at me, he said, this boy will be serving the Lord when he grows up. And to give you context, right, I was not the best behaving child, right? Like, for example, like this is a really... Like, I remember this vividly. At my aunt's wedding, they were taking photos. I was that kid that keeps running in front of the camera on purpose. Like, I was a menace. And so when I kind of, like, heard that, I was like, oh, like, that's, you know, Finn read it out, the verse beautifully. That's somewhat relatable to me with Mary, because Mary was, like, troubled when she heard from the angel. We'll get to that later. But I was definitely troubled, right? Because I felt like telling him, you kind of got the wrong person. Like, it's kind of not me, you know, serving the Lord. The actual words was, he's going to be a pastor. I'm like, nah, don't want to do that. And then I was like, something's really wrong there, right? In my mind. I was like, either they got the wrong person or they got the message wrong. Can anyone here relate to that, by the way? Huh? Yeah, some? Great. Well, you might not have the same exact experience as me, but... have you been ever troubled by something that God has said or promised? So that could be something explicit, right? Either someone prayed over you and gave you a word and you don't feel like it's correct, kind of like me. Or it could be something that you think you've heard from God or like you've heard through something, but it hasn't come true yet and you're waiting on a verge of disappointment. Or it could be something that has came to pass, but that's not really what you think it is. Like, the cost is too much for the promise. You know, like a baby and sleepless nights, right? I thought it was meant to be a blessing. Example, we can see that with Mary, right? When she bears the child, well, the angel was like, you'll be bearing a child and he'll be called the Son of God. Yay, right? It's really good, right? But then you're also a virgin. Oh, so you might have to bear some of those consequences of shame in society if it's not handled properly, kind of thing. So it could be something explicit or it could be something implicit, like reading about how God loves you in the Bible, but you just don't feel it, right? Or It could be that your experience or experiences, it's not lining up with what you read in Scripture. And it's hard to reconcile. Sometimes you don't agree with Scripture. It happens. Maybe it could even be that you haven't heard from God like that. All of these questions, right? But I think the most important question, though, is this. How do we even know that what we hear is from God? We might think we've heard God, but how do we know for sure what is God's promises for us? What is God's promise and what is just wishful thinking, right? We'll try and get to that later. But the good news is that the Bible is full of God's promises. For I know a plan I have for you, says the Lord, on the cups, everything, right? And now you might be thinking, the Bible is written for us, but not to us. Ah, if you're thinking that, you are correct. No, not everything in the Old Testament applies to us, at least not directly. But I would say this, though. All the promises from God come down to just one promise. And that one promise is the same promise for the people of the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, and for us. And what is that promise? Like, what is that thing? Well, let's look at today's scripture. So today's verse is about the foretelling that is so small, sorry guys, that Jesus will be born and to Mary. In other words, it's a promise from God. Do you guys have a Bible on you? I might do a little game with you after. So just pull it out if you can. Did you guys know, though, okay, that Jesus fulfilled more than 300 promises, and that's conservatively, right? Prophecies of the Old Testament. Like, have you guys heard about this? Like, 300. And that's explicitly, meaning there is a clear statement about the thing that's going to happen, and then it happens, right? But also, there are more implicit prophecies that are like foreshadowing or all the stuff, right? So let's play this game. This is the verse, a little bit tiny, so bring out your Bible. It's Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38. I'm going to give you guys just 60 seconds, 1 minute. And this is your task, right? How many prophecies about Jesus or the Messiah can you find in these verses? So 26 to 38. Everyone ready? I'm going to start the clock. Okay. 3, 2, 1, go. Okay. Time's up. Who found one? Oh, yeah. Great. Found two? Cool. Three? Four? Five? Six? Seven? Eight? Nine? 10. Hey. 11? 12? Oh, I spent 3 weeks on this. That's really good. Wow, yeah, 11, great. And then that's the beauty about Scripture, by the way. Like, they're still finding things. Like, scholars are still finding things as we go along. Like, it's amazing. It's so deep. Okay, sorry, I just had to rave about it. Okay, well, I found, personally, six, but explicit ones. So let's go to the next slide. Oh, that's me. Boom. There you go. I found the word virgin, found the word descendant of David, found the word son of the Most High, throne of his father David, his kingdom will never end, son of God. Six. That's me. So I'll just focus on a few so that you can see what kind of the type of prophecies they were. So for virgin, you can see from Isaiah 7:14, it says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. Right? Isaiah was like way before Jesus. It was 700 years before, basically. Go back again. Throne on the of his father David, his kingdom will never end. I love that Finn kind of like talked to me just before he came. I was like, wait a second. Thrown under the Father David, but it's Joseph, and Mary's technically not married. Like, you know, Holy Spirit conceived it. Like, how does this work? What's really cool is Mary and both Mary and David, they come from that, the line of David. So that makes sense. For those two lines, you know, from 2 Samuel 7, 12 to 13, you can see, when your days are complete, and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendants after you. So that line, throne of the father, David. So this is the prophet Nathan talking to David. And then the second part, I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Did you find that cool? I find that really cool. I'm a bit of a nerd, so it makes sense. So explicitly, these are the verses, right? I kind of find. And there'll be more, I'm sure. Like 11, right? I'm sure. So implicitly, so meaning it's inferred to, but it's not like fully kind of like said. But you can see that that's what it's saying. I found another 4. So I got 10 altogether. Which is 6th month, right? That's one. Nazareth, that's another one. The Lord is with you, and you shall call him Jesus. Interesting. Also, just to give you kind of ideas, 2 Samuel was written about between 700 to 900 years before Jesus. Isaiah was from 680 till 700 years before Jesus. Proverbs, 700 till 950. Micah, 700 till 735. And the earliest one is Malachi, which is 430 to 440 BC. So it's at least 400 years before Jesus was there. These were kind of like mentioned, right? So let me go through them quickly if you're interested. 6th month, why is it 6th month? Because in Malachi 3, it says, I will send my messenger, I'll prepare the way. It's talking about John. So the fact that John's already present means, you know, that's one prophecy fulfilled, implicit. Another one, Nazareth. This is an interesting one. The word Nazareth doesn't really appear with connection to Jesus, but, and we all know where Jesus was born, right? Bethlehem, yep. So, but the fact that he kind of grew up there fulfills Isaiah 53, which is, you know, you can see, like a root out of dry ground. He will come out of nowhere, essentially. So Nazareth was a place that's kind of like not really well known for anything, and Jesus came out of there. I'll just rush through this, yeah? The Lord is with you. The word Emmanuel is God is with us, right? Jesus, even. The word Jesus, or the name Jesus, is Joshua. The Lord saves. He is our Savior. So all of that are kind of like implicitly inferred. That's cool. So there's this professor in the US called Peter Stoner. He used some cool maths, probability. If you want to look it up, you can. And he kind of calculated what's the probability of fulfilling just 8 of those prophecies, right? Just 8. And if you think about it, if you look at Jesus' life, the prophecies actually have dates as well. So there's the second temple, you know. I'll go through that later. But basically, to fulfill 8 prophecies is 1 times 10 to the power of 17. Big number, right? It's not 1 million, it's not 1 billion, it's 100 quadrillion. And you can't really wrap your head around. So I asked ChatGPT to calculate for me. And this is what I found. Imagine you have unlimited access to $1 coin, gold coins, right? Now imagine you put it on the floor and you just kind of like, you know, cover the floor. And you do that for the whole of Australia. You'll need 5 more Australians to be that number, right? Pretty insane. And so that would mean that I'll tell someone to, okay, go on these 6 islands of Australia's and pick a coin. And then you have to pick the right coin. That's the probability of just fulfilling 8, right? So from that, we can really see that God is faithful, right? And sometimes we don't even understand or fully understand how he's doing it. For example, Nazareth, right? One of the disciples was like, you know, can anything good come from Nazareth? Like, it's not a good place, right? And we can see that even though we can't really, like, understand it, it's got a divine purpose, and it fulfills a divine promise. Okay, so let's go back to the promise. What is the promise, right? The promise that is the same from the beginning of history that I claimed at the start of this talk. The one promise that all the promises are pointing to. What is that? Well, here it is. The promise is a person, right? The promise is not just a thing or an event. It all points to a person, and that person is himself, God, Emmanuel. God is with us. That is why it's such good news, right? Like, God is wanting to be with us from the beginning, since the beginning, and then we rejected him. He still came down, right? He still died for us, and he still say, I am the way, come to me, right? So we just answered two questions, right? Is God faithful? Yes. And what is his promise? His promise is himself to be with you. So what do I do with this? Great, Dan. You know, Jesus fulfilled all the prophecies. Good. He is faithful. Great. He is with us. And what, right? So we're going to go into Mary and Zechariah that, you know, Cain alluded to at the start. We're going to look at to how they respond to the promise, and let's see what we can learn from here. So there are a few interesting parallels, actually, between Zechariah and Mary. From last week's passage, or this morning's message, if you're here, and this week's passage. And we're going to play another game, but not really, because I've done the work. It's called Spot the Difference. Huh. So basically, you've got Zach and you've got Mary. So when you read it in parallel, you see that the angel appeared for Zach, the angel appeared for Mary. The verses are next to it if you want to read it. Zechariah was troubled. Mary was greatly troubled, right? For Zechariah, the angel brings this promise. For Mary, the angel brings promise as well. For Zechariah, he said, how shall I know this? Mary, she said, how will this be, right? For Zechariah, the angel answered. For Mary, the angel also answered. But then at the end, the very end, Zechariah was like, he became mute, couldn't speak. For Mary, Mary's like, okay, cool, like, I'm your servant. Let it be done, right? I had this question when I was reading it. I was like, it feels like it's kind of unfair to like Zechariah. Like what the? Like, you know, like, why did he go mute? Because Mary asked the question. Zach also asked the question, right? They both ask question, but only one gets punishment for it. Well, when I kind of like looked into it a bit more, the responses are actually quite telling. So you can see that in verse 18, Zechariah said, how shall I know this? Meaning, he actually doesn't fully believe. Like, he's asking for a proof so that he can believe. Whereas for Mary, she receives with faith. She said, how will this be? Okay, this is going to happen, but I'm a virgin. How is it going to be, right? So the difference is in, I guess, the posture of how we're receiving. So what does it mean for me, right? How does it speak to my fear? How does it speak to my disappointments? How does it speak to, you know, like maybe you're saying, I don't know what my promises are. Well, this is where it comes in with takeaway boxes. Get ready, takeaway points. First, ask questions. If you have doubt, if you have disappointments, ask questions. Ask God, right? Ask your mentors, Cain, Adam, anyone. Because God is not afraid of your questions. And you can see that for Mary, she realizes that God's promise is not always convenient. Like, there's always something, there's a responsibility attached to it. So ask questions. That's the first thing. Second, give consent, right? God's a gentleman. Like, he asks for your consent. Like, he's not going to come in and this is the way and this is how it's going to happen, right? And you might say, wait a second, but Zechariah kind of didn't give consent, right? Like he just kind of said, how can this be? And then the angel just shuts him up, right? Well, Zechariah did give consent when he became a priest, right? He's God's person. Like his life is to serve the Lord. So it's kind of, it makes sense why the angel would react this way, because he is also in the temple, right? Whereas for Mary, in verse 38, she gave consent. She said, I'm your bondservant, let it be your will. So if you have questions, if you have things that are unsure, ask question. And then secondly, when you've kind of come to a point of like, yep, God, I want to like follow you, give consent. And then thirdly, hold on to the promise, his promise. And what is his promise? Well, like I said, there's one promise from the beginning, or one purpose, right? The whole entire Bible is pointing to the central figure of Jesus. Everything is pointing to him. And in John 14, 26, it says, you know, Jesus was saying, when I leave, I'm going to, you know, leave this advocate for you, and the Holy Spirit be with you. And then in Acts 2, 4, Holy Spirit came on the Pentecost, right? So he is with you. That's the promise. It doesn't matter like what your questions are. It doesn't matter like even like if you're deciding what to do next, for example. And if you're not sure, and if you're paralyzed by fear, anxiety, just remember that God is with you. His Spirit is with us. Yeah, he's body of Christ. And then I want to leave you guys with Isaiah 9:6. That's a famous carol. For unto us, child is born, right? But I want to focus on the last bit. He is a wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. So if you don't know where you're going, and if you're a bit lost, God's a wonderful counselor. Go to him. If you feel small and not like weak, God's a mighty God. Go to him. He's mighty. Maybe you have fear about, you know, like anxiety about what's to come and the temporariness of life. God's an everlasting Father, and he cares for you. And then he's a Prince of Peace. You've got anxiousness. You've got anxiety. Is your country crumbling like mine? He is Prince of Peace. So imagine a world where we all rely on God and hold on to the promise of God. And imagine a world where we walk with God. I think St. Hills would be a way better place. And your households would be a way better environment. And yeah, so I just want to leave you guys with, you know, three things. If you have questions, ask them. And when you've reach a point of, you know, like God's not afraid of your doubts either. Like God's not afraid of Zacharias' doubt. He actually gave him a sign so that he could believe. So ask a question and then give consent and then just keep holding on to it.